Blog Talk Radio.
If you guess, this is for the
the awards, the Tonys, the Oscars, whatever the heck they are. I don't know. But I'll watch it. It's the movies, yes. If you guess the winners of the movies, I guess guess enough of them, you will win 24 brownies. This whole thing is on, well, if you go to their website of brownies.com and go to where it says blog, you can see this. And I also have it on my own blog site, which is Merle Swirls, which is MerleSwirls.blogspot.com, and you can see the information and how to get these brownies. I was about to play a song on here. I just noticed my upload thing, my files has shrunk, and not because I deleted it. So I'll have to check that out. But you know, yes, we have somebody. Wait a minute. I have to introduce. Yes, Esther is in here with me, and she'll be co-hosting the show. For those who don't know Esther, she's my friend. She's the rubber chicken from the rubber chicken forest in California over at the Twisted Oak Winery. And I'm going to have some news about her twin sister. Yes, we spotted her twin sister on an egg carton. We didn't know she was lost, and I'll update you on that at some point. In the meantime, let's talk about, I guess we have, do I got on Charmaine? Are you
yes,
there?
You do.
I do.
Hello.
Oh, you missed my brownie commercial.
Oh, really?
You would have been.
I would have been salivating.
I have to tell you, have you ever heard of fairy tale brownies?
I have. I've actually gotten them as gifts.
Are they? I mean, come on.
They're the best. No, they're delicious.
There's nothing that tops them.
They're dangerous. Very
yes,
dangerous.
And I get crazy with them. They were talking about somebody was talking about on their blog they have a contest going,
mm-hmm.
but also somebody was talking about crumbling up the brownies and using them like to put on the top of a cheesecake or the bottom of a cake and to bake or something like that. And I thought like using, you know, the crumbles
mm-hmm.
of them. But then, as it turns out, and I didn't know this, they have like, you can actually buy like a 1 pound or a 2 pound or something sheet of brownie.
Oh, really? Wow, that would be a fantastic gift. I mean, just that way, that's wonderful.
And then the thought of, you know, like, you could take some of it and crumple it up yourself. And, like, I was just thinking about it, by the way, before I get to
you
the
better thing, eat something.
But the thing I thought about is I have this yogurt called Vanana. It's like this, you know, a banana, vanilla kind of yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that with the brownies?
Well, yeah. Now you've got me very hungry.
Okay. Now
thank
let's
you.
Get to the expo.
No, I don't know. I have to go out and get some fairy tale brownies. I don't know. So how are you?
Oh, just fine.
Yeah, we're getting excited about the show.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're going to be there.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. And I got some, looks like some New York Sharks players are going to show up, too.
Yeah, we have some really wonderful guests this year and a lot of really unbelievable exhibits. They're mostly interactive and a lot of fun, so we're hoping that everybody comes down. You know, this is the last big show in New York that's indoors and at the Javits in 17th year, so we're doing okay. And I just, I love doing it. I can't wait to come. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. It's never allowed to snow on a show day, so that's
good. Yeah, well, I don't. It shouldn't be. snowing then.
No, well, you never know. Yeah, and you know what we're doing this year, Merle? We're doing, I think it's fun. Everybody has this old gold and silver and platinum lying around. So if you bring it to the expo, the guy's going to give you top dollar plus he's going to pay for your admission to get in. So that's really fun. Yeah, so it should be in our newsletter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if all of your listeners want to, I mean, I'm going through my stuff now at home, and I've got, you know, one earring, an old chain that's broken, you know, that kind of thing. And, hey, it adds up. And
you know what?
With cash, that's so much fun.
Can you do me a favor and email me that?
I'm going to email it to you. You're going to give me your, I have your email.
Yeah, do that. And, yeah, because what I'll do is, because I need to, like, I know I get it. I'm going to get it into my blog first, my blog site.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see if I can put a blurb in into the Queen's Times.
Oh, that'll be fun.
No pun intended.
That's funny. But, you know, we have the usual stuff, too, which is so exciting. The video lounge, which always has a bunch of folks that are really with the newest clips and the video. You know, it's kind of nice, too, because it's right after the Academy Awards, and so maybe we'll get some, you know, fabulous guests there. And, you know, we have so much going on, you know, the stage. And, you know, it's just every year there's something new, something fun, and, you know, we're very excited about our guests, too. We have the Rochelle Fleming,
mm-hmm.
of First Choice, and then Amber Rose Marie. She's always a crowd pleaser. And, of course, Ms. Peppermint. You know, she's New York's number one drag queen. So, I don't know. Do you all like that kind of entertainment? I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Now you have to understand.
I know.
This is me, Merle Exit,
okay.
who has been a comedian for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
and I have gotten like canceled or you know turned down for gigs because they would rather pay $50 to a drag queen than $250. From my total live show with music and songs and comedy and the whole bit.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, you know what the answer to that is. You have to start dressing up.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, when I was doing this, I was actually, I used to perform in a gown
mm-hmm.
purposely. And I would also wear, like, shit kickers on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, well, I didn't want to be formal, so... But, I kind of separate, like, drag queens and female impersonators.
Yeah, there's a difference.
And, you know, and, that's just me.
Yeah, but there's something for everybody at the show.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
One of the things, the reasons I love to go to these things is because I want to see, like, who suddenly wants gay money.
Well, yeah. And it's usually the same people, by the way. But, on the other hand, they're loyal to the gay community.
Oh, no. Who suddenly wants it?
Oh, suddenly. Oh, suddenly. Oh,
yeah.
Let me think about that. Yeah, we got a lot of new people this year.
Well, so far, my favorite one has been Hershey's Resort and Spa. And I went,
whoa.
I said, what? What? And I took them up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out there.
Oh,
you know.
Good. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I had a great time. And then
oh,
afterwards, I said,
yeah.
So listen, I need photos. Do you have any photos of like two men or two women?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any. I don't know why.
And, you know, I don't know why they didn't come back. And I thought it was a great promotion for them.
Of course it's a promotion. It's a promotion. But you can't promote it and then...
just not come back. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, no, they not follow up. I mean,
no.
If that's what you want, if you're looking for the gay community
mm-hmm.
to patronize, then you can't just, you know, you have
just
to...
drop it. You have to follow through with it. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that's it. So that was my the most amusing.
Well,
we've had so many
things over the last 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You know, when we first started the show, I don't know if you knew this, but people used to hang up on us. We'd say, you know, we're calling, we're having a gay and lesbian expo. At the time, it was the International Gay and Lesbian Business and Consumer Expo. Okay, that was a mouthful. And the first year we did it, we got calls and people saying, what is this all about? And we said, well, you know, the gay and lesbian community, fabulous people. You know, you know the cliches are big spenders, got a lot of taste, you know, double income, educated,
yeah.
That, you know, the whole thing. And it's basically a true thing. And they said, oh, that will never work. So then years later, now these are big companies. Now, years later, we would call and they would have a diversity and a gay and lesbian division. So they caught on real quick, you know, but it was just amazing to me that even a large, one of the large networks hung up on us. I won't even tell you who it is, but they actually hung up after they left, and we called them back and we said, you know, your representation at the level of answering the phone is really piss poor, and, you know, you just can't do this. But anyway, so that was it, and we've had, you know, a lot of crazy funny things happen, and you know, we've had all kinds of things happen at the expo, and gosh, you know, so every year is a new year. So this year is, I'm waiting to see what happens. You know what we do have? We have people with the smokeless cigarettes. So make
the
sure
what?
That there's smokeless cigarettes. You kind of breathe in this air, this, and it looks like it's lit, but there's nothing in it. So that should be interesting. So there's a lot of interesting exhibits. We have
that would be great at the bars. Let's say
exactly.
No smoking, but people are smoking the
right. And you know what the bars are doing, which I think is interesting. The bars are coordinating the color. See, you can order them for your bar club, and what you do is you change the color of the tip. So if somebody's actually smoking, you can see by the color that they're okay. And if it's a different color, you know it's a real cigarette. Isn't that cool? I think that's a very cool idea. But we have, Bud is back with us as our big sponsor, and we always love to have them. And we have, you know, a lot of sampling, a couple of restaurants are in, and, you know, so it's going to be a great, great show.
Well, first let's go, why is it like there is another expo? So why are you called the original Gay Expo versus the other one that comes in?
Okay, the other one that comes in is no longer. I don't know if you knew about that. We were the original show 17 years ago, and about six years ago, they decided they could do it better. And so it was with the now defunct, whose name I won't mention, magazine that left New York. They decided to put on
the
show.
Must have been the one I was writing for. Okay.
I'm sure it is.
That
and
I didn't get paid.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't, which was a real problem. That's not my thing, though. I feel bad for just everybody. But when we started, we were told that they were going to do a show and that they could do it better, and they left us as a sponsor, which, you know, I'm in favor of everybody making money. And, you know, just hopefully I'll make money this year. I don't know. This is debatable. But, you know, it's been a tough year, a really tough year the last 2 years. You know, the economy sucks, and so, but we're keeping going on because that's what we said on the outset that we would do. But anyway, so they went into business, and they had their attendance was not as good as ours. Last year we had over 18,000 people. I think the most they had maybe 1,000. So there's a big difference in the promotion and the way we treat people. We treat all of our exhibitors and our attendees like, you know, their family, and that's what we do. We mother everyone all year long. And so we've got the same people with us all these years. And the upshot is that we're still around for year number 17. And, you know, they're not. So there was room for two if it had been handled correctly, but not now. I think the market is going to have just one show a year, unfortunately.
Mm. You know, it's funny. I think in my mind, and I might be wrong, I'm thinking that the other one had more travel.
I don't think so. We have a
no?
whole travel section with Passport Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that on every aisle we have two and three.
Okay.
Four.
And maybe it was the other one that didn't have.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember, like, they had something as a writer for me.
Right.
That was interesting, why
was
I
that?
Went. And I don't remember what it was. You know.
So we have a lot of stuff that would be interesting, I think, for you. You know, aside from the entertainment, we just have the enormous energy that is going on the show floor. And I think that was lacking in the other show, the energy. You know, we have bright colors, you know, a lot of balloons all over. It's very energetic.
Yeah.
People feel excited when they're there. We also have a huge, huge, huge same-sex wedding section this year. And they keep rolling in. The rainbow wedding people are coming in with the big, big inside of our show.
Now, do you, in terms of travel, are you going to be? Are you getting the states where the with gay marriage is okay?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of Connecticut people coming in on their own because the state of Connecticut, where I'm located, by the way, and I'm deeply embarrassed about this. I called and I said, "Wow, you have the same-sex wedding ability." I said, "Do you realize that you could have people coming to the state, getting married, doing their ceremonies, having their honeymoon, and you know, maybe because we're such tolerant people here, buying places and settling in Connecticut?" And they just said, "Oh, we don't have any money." So we went off on our own, and we got some folks in Connecticut, so they're coming in because they see the value of this. And
no more funds for Connecticut tourism.
No, there's no funds for anything. I mean, it's just incredible. Everybody's been cut off, and it's a shame. And, you know, Massachusetts, Vermont, you hardly hear from them. The only one that does always take an ad with us, and they send us the bears. We have the pride bears that we give away as, you know, prizes, and the wedding bears. They're so cute. They're beautiful, beautiful stuffed animals.
You know You know who should have been solicited? I think the state of Iowa.
Iowa?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I never even thought of that. See, you should be working for me, Maron, I'll tell you. Iowa.
Well, that, Iowa. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like I couldn't imagine. It was like, what? You can get married in Iowa, but you can't get married in New York?
I forgot Iowa was a state. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm so, like, on the East Coast, but that's Iowa. You know what? It's a great idea. I'll have somebody give them a call. Maybe they want to come and, you know, join us this year. That would be fantastic.
Well, I went to Iowa. I was doing a...
I bet it's beautiful.
Actually, I did something on the Quad Cities.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two cities... let's see. What would there was two cities in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what the cities were. The other ones were. But that was and I did go to some like places. They were showing me where there were some gay bars or whatever. But I just kind of like because I was writing and then afterwards when I heard that they were. You know, that they gay marriage, and I went, what?
It's an amazing thing. I'm so shocked at New York and New Jersey, and we're still waiting and keeping our fingers crossed.
I did a huge article, actually, on Connecticut weddings. I went to three different areas of Connecticut for wedding destinations, and it's
a beautiful state. And
Yeah,
it's a great place to live. So we're excited that we have many Connecticut folks, and we have people from, you know, from Florida, from California. I think the Cirque du Soleil people are going to be there this year. I don't know what they're going to do. Trying to think.
They're not going to perform, are they?
I hope not. They'll be leaping over the booths. I don't know.
That's
be
so
very
cool. They're going to have Cirque du Soleil is going to have a booth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're coming in, so that'll be fun.
That's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And then we have. I love my favorites are coming back. You know, Sister Funk. I love her. I love them.
Uh huh.
And they're from Connecticut. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love them. And, so we're going to have a lot of different stuff going on, which I think is fun. And I'll tell you, with travel, I know we have We have Canada, we have Brazil, I'm trying to think of the outer places. Chateau Versailles, I think that's up in Canada too, and Iceland Air. So the IGLTA people are going to be there. So there's quite a few. So it's going to be a good show. I hope everyone comes.
Did you get anybody from any of the cruises?
Yeah, well, we have some local cruise people. The ones that go around Manhattan.
Oh, no, I mean other than that.
No, we don't have a cruise person. You know, we've tried them, and we've tried to tell them the advantages of being here because, you know, we get real bodies that come to the show over, you know.
Yeah, because it's a new one, Sweet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I went on their
Oh, you did?
Cruise, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Was it a gay cruise or just a regular cruise?
No, it was all women, all lesbian cruise.
And it's called
Sweet,
what?
Sweet. If you go to, when you get a chance, go to discoversweet.com.
Huh. Perhaps my Irene has called him, or Pam, or Diane, or whatever.
I think I need to work for you guys.
I know. Listen, hey, anytime. You give me a call after the show, and we'll talk.
I do. It's because I go on a lot of press trips. I do a lot
mm-hmm.
of traveling, so
mm-hmm.
I'm picking up on things, and especially, and it's interesting with the trend as I like go to the websites of these tourism places that they have a separate section of like GLBT section.
Well, I don't know. Do you like that?
Well, it says to me if they do have a particular section for that and the tourism, then it already says to me, oh, this is a good place. This is a place that'll be gay friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're promoting it.
Yeah. But they're not keeping you in a section by yourself.
Oh, no. What I'm saying, when you go on their website.
On their website. I thought, oh, my God.
Oh, no. No, just on their website. And I think that's of interest to notice.
That is. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you would think the big lines would have them, but we've called all of them. And it's a matter of, this year everybody's drawing in their belts and seeing what's happening. So let's hope that those lovely folks down in Washington make some good decisions this year, you know.
So when you said, like, you were commenting, like, at the one of the things, and this is not, you know, this is just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the problem for me is all this, like, you can certainly sample drinks, but no one's sampling food.
Yeah. Right. Well, we do have some samplers this year.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we have the Cabot Cheese people. They're coming. They're looking for the gay market in a big way.
Oh, that's really funny. I've been to their
mm-hmm. plant. Oh, I bet. You know, I've never been, and I do buy their cheese. But, yeah, they're going to be joining us this year. And I don't have the list in front of me, but we have quite a few, I think, food people this year. So.
Oh, that's good. I'll make sure I get there early.
Yes, you should.
Yeah. So I can, chomp up. For me, and it also gives me articles to write about,
right.
to follow up on with
well,
these people.
I am looking. Will you come up and see me when you come to the show?
Well, are you?
I'm going to be at the registration area. I'll be around, but just ask for Charmaine.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right, and if you need any tickets for folks, you make sure you call me.
Sure,
and,
I'll let you know.
Yeah,
and as a matter of fact, I have to tell you, I because I get so busy, I totally forgot about like when it is, and for some reason or other, I don't know why. I always think it's in April.
One time it was in April, like maybe twice in our 17-year history, but normally it's at the end of March.
So what happened was that I actually got an email from one of the Sharks players saying,
oh.
We had such fun last year. I said, yes, okay.
Okay,
you know.
Make sure you come this year. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you on our newsletter email.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so that you get all this stuff. And we send emails out all year, so you'll get some stuff. And so hopefully I'll see you. It was just so great. I thank you so much for inviting me on. And I'd like to spend some more time. I have a line of people at my door. Everybody's got a question. And oh, my gosh, you know what? After the show, I am going to take, like, a nap for about 3 days.
not after my show. You mean
I don't know. I'm getting old. What can I tell you? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Not after your show. Yeah. All righty. Now, if you have any questions at all, you know where to find us.
And, oh, sure.
And I'm going to send you that stuff on the gold. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I'll definitely. I'll get it up on my blog site too.
Oh, that'd be great.
Because I'll get this out on my blog site even before I can get it in the Queen's Times. I'm busy. I'm doing a series on Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, how fun!
It's going to take 4 weeks of articles, having only spent 3 days.
You know. I think it's a beautiful, I mean, it's a really interesting area. It reminds me of, I don't know, like an island somewhere. I don't know that I've been to.
Yeah.
It's just very quaint.
It is. I had a great time and found out all about baby Jesus in a cake.
Okay. I'm going to read this article. Put me on your...
You have to go to this thing. I'm sorry, but I found this hysterical that there's a thing. It's a tradition. They have a king cake for Mardi Gras.
Right.
And inside the cake is a little, you find a little plastic baby. And whoever finds the plastic baby has to buy another cake. Now, the plastic baby is supposed to be baby Jesus. I just think the whole idea of somebody joking on baby Jesus.
Hey, go
Jesus. I mean, I thought, all I kept thinking was, oh, okay, let's have baby Moses in a babka.
Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
With an edible swaddling cloth.
Yeah. And a little cup of wine after.
Yeah, or I could see the headlines, child chokes on baby Jesus, could not be saved. If you accidentally stick the knife into it, do you yell out, stigmata? This is, you know.
That is funny. But that would be an interesting story to do, though, the origin.
Well, I do
of,
have
like,
the origin.
Mardi Gras and all that, yeah.
Yeah,
know.
The origin actually is that they used to put a bean in the cake.
A bean.
And if you found the bean, you were supposed to do an imitation of one of the three kings, the three wise men. That was the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Now, somehow it got into the Latin Americans, decided to put little baby Jesus in there, and if you got the slice, you were to you buy another cake.
That is so fun. Really. Well, you have an interesting life. I thought I had an interesting life, but you know what? I think you win.
Mine's more warped, probably. Anyway, I'll see you there.
Thank you
and
so much.
And, yes, if I have any questions, I'll get a hold of you.
Thank you so much, Merle. It was lovely. And say hello to everyone for me.
I certainly will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah, yes, Charmaine Westliff, that from the RD group that produces the yearly event, the Gay Expo. Yes. Okay, so while we're waiting for my next caller, it's music time.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moon. My future.
love the show Hair, and it's one of my favorite songs called Flesh Failures. Well, as I'm waiting for... I already said, you know, I can't expect... I want people to be, you know, people are supposed to call in. Let's see, an email. No, that's not an email saying I forgot or anything like that. Oh, what the heck? One of the things I'm going to be focusing on, too, is, it's Women's History, or as I say, Herstory Month. And I'm trying to set it up to have some students and parents, et cetera. The New York Sharks, well, actually, the New York Sharks, the Fins Up Foundation, had a junior player development program recently. And there was, 175 attendees. It's girls between the ages of 12 to 17. It's a free clinic to learn how to play football, I think they really, we don't go into tackle because we don't want anybody getting hurt yet. We teach all kinds of things that include discipline and building up your ego, the image. The girls need to have a positive image as they grow up and know that they can do anything that they choose to do. And this was quite a success. Although I've gotten some feedback, I'd like to get some of the participants' reaction from this. I was unable to attend, we had some groups. It was the Young Women's Leadership School. Apparently, there's many of them. I don't know if it's just in New York City or not. I'm looking to see if I can get somebody from there to talk. And then we had the Girls Incorporated, Girls Inc. I don't know. Again, this is the ones from New York City. I don't know if it goes beyond New York City or not. And so I'm trying to see if we can get somebody from there as well to give us, some feedback and what they do, and so that's what I'm looking at. Looking for Fins Up is looking for funds for next year. So we got to start working on it right now. I don't know what's happening. Regarding the hotel as yet, but I'm going to search for something to chat about, and let's see what I can give you. I don't know, but I'll tell you, I don't know who pulled off all this music, but let's get to another song while I... And it's not who you think, by the way.
Somebody else. I would only be your way. So I go. But I know I'll think of you in every step of the way.
Hotel should be calling in about 15 minutes. It was the Go Green Expo that didn't seem to find anybody to call in. Huh? That's okay. Huh? It was, it's publicity, you know what I mean? But anyway, so let's get back. Well, what I'm going to do, hey, may as well, I'm going to take the opportunity to promote my book, Whirl with Merle, It's a Humorous Life. And what I'm going to do here, I thought that I would read, I'm going to read my introduction and perhaps, yeah, and the introduction and perhaps chapter one. So,
Writer, editor's note, this is a book of humor. It is not a puzzle book. You don't get credit for posting out, for pointing out or debating possible mistakes, like words that I make up or grammatical errors that no one really gives a shit about. You know which ones I mean, like whether you close a quote before or after the damn period. Enjoy. Hi, my name is Merle Exit. Well, actually, it's my stage name. You see, I changed it to Exit so that I can see my name up in lights. When people ask me if I'm from Queens, I tell them, no, my folks are straight. I guess that gives you the idea that I have a sense of humor. Nobody told me that I had to subdue my laughter. And believe me, with life being funny, it certainly is, I wanted to share it with everyone. In fact, there wasn't anything I wouldn't do if it got someone to laugh. My sense of humor came from my family, particularly on my father's side. There were lots of jokes from my dad, Max, as well as the six brothers and sisters, a.k.a. the Motley Crue. My father shied away from delivering jokes that were not for young ears, or even later, being that I was his baby daughter. Thus, it was mostly puns. No lengthy jokes emerged. It was my Uncle Hoy who had advised me as a preteen to change my last name to Exit. It was also about that time that I remember being at my Aunt Mickey's house when he asked her if it would be okay to tell me the joke about something. My aunt responded with, just as long as you don't say fuck. My mother Gertrude, a.k.a. Goldie, tended to share the dirty jokes with me and had a sarcastic way about her. Hey, Mom, I have show and tell today. What can I do? Show your ass and tell about it, came the answer. She seemed to have a focus on the anal portion of one's body when it came to humor. The first limerick that I could remember was one she told me. There once was a lady from Kent who shit wherever she went. She went to the fair to try to shit there, but they clogged up her hole with cement. There are just some things you don't forget. I can also recall times that I was punished for using curse words. Why is it that parents can use this vocabulary, yet reprimanding their offspring for the use of the same words? They spend long hours teaching us to speak with the expectation of hearing and pronouncing these words, along with Lexus uttering in our vicinity. I didn't teach you that. Where'd you hear that from? Why are they so surprised? The larger questions at hand are really, at what age does one consider it to be curse-worthy? Should they legalize the age of certain words that are commonly found in our dictionary the way that they legalize the age for voting and drinking? Getting back to laughing, my favorite thing. I remember meeting up with my friend Linda. I was 9 years old at the time. Something funny was said, and I laughed wholeheartedly. You shouldn't laugh like that, she said. It's not ladylike. With complete amazement, I retorted with, who told you that? My mother, she replied. I was startled and actually wondered if her mother was some sort of old, odd creature. I couldn't wait to meet her. Needless to say, she was just another mother. It was then I decided how odd the world was. Why would anyone believe something to be true just because your parents said so? I'd finally come to this conclusion. Considering that each of us is looking for approval, then the person who lays it on you is also someone looking for approval and therefore doesn't have the answers but a bunch of belief systems. I mean, the reality of the laughter thing is that it's not only quite healthy to let out a good belly laugh, but doing so would not make for a change in my genitals. So much for her ladylike pedestal. Guilt was another illogical aspect of my life, especially Jewish guilt. It has always been difficult for me to feel guilty. I later learned through my mother's exhaustive attempts that guilt trips were a way to manipulate you by getting you to do something that you really didn't want to do by appealing to your positive feelings so that the other person can get what they want. Now, doing something that you know is wrong and getting caught at it is deemed as guilty. For instance, when I took tests in school and cheated, I did this quite often, as school seems to be all about what you memorized or read, which I'll share in the next chapter. I devised fabulous ways to do this, including learning to write in such tiny print that I could store at least two answers on one fingernail. I even learned to write the entire preamble to the Constitution on a paper the size of 1 inch high and 2 inches long, glancing at other people's test papers and setting up signals with my cohorts were pretty high on my list as well. So here I am in a movie called Up the Down Staircase, where I play the part of a student. Since I didn't have any lines that day, I didn't get a script. The scene was taking a test, and I automatically did what I usually do. This time, I am just glancing at the answers from the guy next to me. The scene continued with the principal coming in and talking with this teacher about one of the students. As he leaves, he turns and says, "Third row, second seat, eyes on your own paper." I suddenly realized that it was me, and a garden of butterflies began dancing the jig in my stomach. Did the actor improvise? No, it was actually in the script. Butterflies had a field day each and every rehearsal or take. During my teenage years, I hung around with Jack, who would be my partner in numerous crime. There was a joke going around at that time. There were two elephants in a bathtub. One said to the other, "Pass the soap," and the other said, "No soap radio." Sure, it didn't make sense, but people laughed at it anyway. Well, we decided to make up one of our own. Excuse me. If five men were rowing a rowboat up Fifth Avenue, how many pancakes could the Empire State Building hold? 45, because ice cream has no bones. The idea was to tell this joke and just start laughing. Needless to say, the other person would either stare blankly or say, "I don't get it." That made the joke even funnier for us, that the person was trying to figure it out. More laughter. It now becomes even funnier when the next person joins in and the person you first told it to goes into a fit of laughter due to both the catchiness of hysterical laughter and the victim having the common reaction. Hey, if you don't believe me, try it. Jack was a friend that had told me to write a book entitled The Many Lives of Bo. Neither of us remembers why Bo. Could it have something to do with the song The Name Game? That mind thing isn't due to my being a member of Kraft. Can't remember a fucking thing. We're talking over 40 years ago. My mind just keeps whipping around, which is why I've entitled this book, Merle's World. I sent my signature into a teen magazine to have them analyze it. Here is what they wrote. The writing of Merle attracts attention because of his unusual maturity for her age. She is only 12 and a half years old. This girl is versatile and has many talents. Her creative imagination may be seen in the high-pointed upper loops and in her simple, graceful capitals. She has dramatic feeling and ability to create unusual effects, which are revealed by her flourished signature. The encircling spiral denotes that she is concerned with her own security and can manage herself deftly in difficult situations. The sharp-pointed tops of the N's and M's show manual skill, technical ability, and a keen analytical mind. focused around graceful rhythmic forms at the baseline express her musical feeling and her receptivity and warm responsiveness. She is self-confident and ambitious to fully develop her capacities. Physical strength and grace are portrayed by the full lower loops and the love of dancing, beautiful clothes, and good living. She has only to continue to study with her usual buoyant enthusiasm and need not worry about the future. Huh. Was the analysis correct? Oh, read it on, my dear audience, and judge for yourself. Now, before I get to chapter one, he'll be calling in soon. Well, I'm going to do this. What I'm going to do is each week I will read one chapter or part of a chapter from my book. Right now, I'm going to take another musical break. And because, again, since it's Women's History Month, why not the song?
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, the smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, just good. Introduce yourself to my
audience. My name is Tony Villier. I'm the guest service coordinator at the Proximity Hotel in Greensboro here in North Carolina.
And so I understand that your place has gone green.
That's right. We started out being green in many respects, actually. We just opened up a little over 2 years ago, so October of 2007, and we were the first hotel in North America to achieve a LEED Platinum certification.
Really?
And for those of you listeners out there that are not familiar with what LEED is, it's the stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. It is a program that's a certification program that's kind of a reward program for someone to promote more sustainable building practices. So that nonprofit organization, the United States Green Building Council, kind of helps to facilitate and wants to reward green buildings that are out there. So.
Cool. So explain to me, like, what does it mean, like, that you're green? What would one expect?
Well, here at the proximity, one thing that's very important to understand is that the guest expectation as they're coming in is that if you don't really know that it's a green hotel, you're not likely going to know that it is a green hotel because, first and foremost, we're a hotel. We're here to make sure that our core constituents or our guests walk in and experience a place that they want to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you walk around, you say, wow, this is a really beautiful place. I'd love to come back and visit some other time. And then you might notice a couple of really small cards that are in your room or a little plaque that's right there near the elevators, or a little education center that's down next to the fitness studio that talks about some of the sustainable practices that were implemented within the building. So we save a lot of energy. We use a lot less energy within the hotel and use a lot less water. And that's really one of the main things that from a facility standpoint, that makes us a green hotel. We actually use about 40% less energy than a traditional hotel for this size and style would, and about 33% less water than the same.
Right, and like, what else would one expect? Is there smoking allowed in the hotel?
No, we are completely, and it's kind of interesting to see that right here in North Carolina, which is of course a good old tobacco row between ourselves and Raleigh Durham area there. To experience a hotel that's completely smoke-free, but you actually don't, we don't allow smoking within 25 feet of either the hotel or the restaurant, Printworks Bistro, which is just next to us here.
Wow, that's great that you don't allow, 25 feet too, because, every time, you'll find places and it's like, so they're standing right outside and you got to, suck up the smoke anyway.
That's right, and every time that you have, if you have a revolving door, every time it swooshes, it would suck that smoke right back in or something like that, so you end up having people in the lobby that would experience that anyway. So we saw it both within that and, of course, pumping a lot of fresh air into our guest rooms. We have windows which open. That's another aspect that you'll find that's unique, but we have a lot of fresh air that comes into the hotel. So not only having a smoke-free environment, but having something that is, you're getting a ton of fresh air into each of the guest rooms, you really experience a positive difference in terms of the indoor air quality.
How are you doing this in terms of pumping fresh air? In other words, this has nothing to do with whether you're controlling, let's say, the heat or the air conditioning, or this is, how does that work?
That's right. It's actually, we feel like that's a very important aspect. The indoor air quality is something that's really important to us. So in each of our guest rooms, you have a constant flow of fresh air coming into it. We have equal parts, fresh air coming into the building and escaping out. And we use this thing called an energy recovery wheel, which is up in our what we call the penthouse, the big mechanical room there on top of our hotel that exchanges the heat or coldness, the energy that's inherent in the air that's coming out of the building there with this wheel so that it tempers the air coming in. That both makes a lot of sense because it makes it more energy efficient to heat or cool the air as it comes into your guest room, but also allows you to get a lot of fresh air into the hotel without necessarily compromising on energy efficiency.
So let's just say if I'm, would I have separate control of the heat or?
It's just like you'd expect in your house. Probably you have a switch which controls how high the fan goes, and you have another switch
right.
That's a thumb wheel that controls what the temperature setting is. So we didn't want our guests to be inconvenienced by their experience within the hotel. So you have complete control of your air conditioning system, and if you're in one guest room, you could be heating, and then in the next guest room, you could be cooling. You're doing it very efficiently,
right.
But you're able to experience the temperature that you like as a guest.
This is a great idea. I know I find I have a problem. I manage to, I'll be at a hotel, and the instead of like the main air conditioning or something, it's one of those things next to the window.
Right, right. One of the in window units or where it's like right kind of into the wall there.
Yeah, and what I find is I don't think people clean the filters enough.
That is certainly something that you have to be very vigilant about. Whenever you have any type of air conditioning or heating or ventilating system, to make sure your filters are running clean. Otherwise, you're losing a lot of energy, that's for sure.
Well, it's not just energy. It's also when they're not clean, I'm sucking up, I'm not getting breathable air. Lot of times I'll get ill afterwards and catch a cold or something, because of that. And then I'll say, there's that pattern again.
Yeah, and that it has to do with the humidity as well. That's a big thing within within buildings. If you're not able to get the humidity out of the air, especially in North Carolina, we certainly have to worry about that in the summertime because you can get a lot of with the rain and things like that. It's important that you're able to pull that out, and that again ends up affecting both the temperature, but also the feel of the guest room from an air quality standpoint.
That's great. I went to a hotel, which no longer exists. This was in Philadelphia, and this was being the model of green, boy. They did have this with the air coming in, but not only that. And I'm curious if you do this in terms of the cleaning products.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use cleaning products that have harmful chemicals, or
both within the cleaning products that we use? The vast majority of the cleaning products that we use are Green Seal certified. So a good deal of those cleaning products are Green Seal certified. All of the in terms of the adhesives and sealants and paints that we use within the building, even the down to the carpeting and things like that, they all had to adhere to really low VOC standards as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're dealing with really good air quality from that perspective.
Oh, that's good. Because that was another thing. And then the last thing that I noticed about this place, they would use recycled like glass and stuff for their, not fixtures, like you could see the floors or things like that. And they were using, it wasn't odd looking, but they were using recycled things. I think they were going like really out there. I had seen there was a company actually in Manhattan that was, that you can, if you check out the floor there, they have all these things that were available to use for hotels,
mm-hmm.
For this type of thing. But do you think there are any other hotels that are as much as you are doing?
Well, there certainly are a few hotels that are making strides. We There are two other hotels in the world at this point that are platinum certified, and you know, a couple of them. There's one out in California, and there's another one that's in India. And I think that there are a number of different hotels that are starting to make strides because they can see that from a consumer perspective that it is making a difference. But I always caution anyone to kind of really think about what is it that you're actually that they're actually doing. Are they actually putting a lot of true energy into their process of making sure that they are being a more sustainable building and operating more sustainably? Or are they just really milking the marketing factor of doing some simple things that, albeit they achieve some of the goals of being more sustainable, aren't really very significant strides? And even with our hotel, we recognize that, you know, this is we approached this building with the idea that, you know, we didn't want to have a negative impact on our guest experience.
Right.
And within that, being able to achieve 40% greater energy efficiency and using 33% less water without negatively impacting the guest experience in the showers and in the hotel guest rooms, there are certainly greater strides that can be met as time goes on, and we're likely in the next couple of years going to be putting a little bit more energy into seeing if there's some additional things that we can do to kind of hone in on some greater efficiencies within the hotel and the way that we operate the building.
And what about with the drinking water? Do you have it?
All of the drinking water for the hotel is filtered.
Mm-hmm.
So, we use a lot less in terms of bottled water or things like that within the restaurants. You have filtered water that's there, which tastes great. That's certainly a positive aspect there.
Do you have, for instance, now, let's say I'm in a room,
mm-hmm.
but the water's not going to be filtered for the cold water there, right?
That is true.
And do you provide, bottles of it or however you want to do it so that, let's say that I'm staying and can I just go down to the restaurant and fill up a bottle or something? How would that
work?
At
this point in time, that's actually something that we're exploring, how to be able to kind of capture the ability to use the great tasting water that we have in our restaurants in a way that's sanitary and be able to use that. We use a locally sourced, North Carolina company for the bottled water that we offer within our guest rooms. That's one of the ideas that we have to kind of, again, push a bit further is to figure out a way that we can, in a sanitized way, have the bottled water that is from our restaurant available in our guest rooms.
Yeah,
and even possibly doing something like a filtered station on guest floors.
Oh, yeah.
With having the sanitized bottles, even if they're empty, in the guest room, so that you have that as an ability to use during your stay.
Yeah, that would be an excellent idea. It's funny. I had gotten an email that from a company, because I'll be attending a green expo.
That's what I hear. Coming down here to visit us, I understand.
Well, yeah, well.
Or at least visit North Carolina.
Well, I'm visiting North Carolina. I'm coming to, I'm starting out in Charlotte and making my way to Raleigh. But I understand I've picked the wrong time, so I don't get to stay at your hotel on the way. And I'll get back to you about this. So some company had emailed me in regards to the water system that you can use that'll, take out all the, purify or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get that information to you in just case you want to, check that out.
That sounds great.
Although I think it's more concerned about, there are times, let's say, because they have also this portable one, like in a bottle kind of thing, so that, let's say, if you're at a place, at a restaurant that doesn't have, you know, great water, you can just put it through this filter and drink it, you know, the type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else that you want to tell me about the hotel itself in terms of going green?
Yeah, well, we use, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, not inconveniencing guests, and one of the ways that we save energy is by having solar panels on our roof that heat the hot water for the building.
Oh, cool. I didn't know. You got solar panels on the roof, too.
Yeah, there's about 60%. It's about 60% of our hot water needs are taken care of by that. So there's a considerable amount of energy savings there, which is a really great system to have for a hotel, of course, because we use lots and lots of hot water. But also, it's one of the most efficient ways of capturing the sun's energy there as well within a hot water system there. And one of the, I think, the most somewhat progressive things that we've done is the emphasis that we've had not only on the initial investment and focus on of the energy savings and water savings and things like that within the building, but also on the verification that all of those things are actually happening. So we've had a great partnership with North Carolina A&T State University right here in Greensboro. And they've actually done a considerable amount of investment in basically, for them, we became a big lab on energy efficiency. And so they've helped us to both monitor indoor air quality, monitor how efficient a lot of our systems are actually running. And in the process, we've been able to hone in and kind of dial in a lot more efficiencies within that aspect. So I think that's one of the coolest aspects that we've had from an energy saving standpoint.
Now, one of the other things that went into my mind was when you're washing when you're doing the linens and stuff, are you using a detergent that's, what do you call it? Chemical free or whatever, you know. I don't mean, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. You know, right now we've definitely had a lot of research and gotten a lot of information on some of those things, but have not really been happy with a lot of the results that we've been able to produce with those. So, you know, that's not an aspect that we really focus on. All of our washing machines, as well as, you know, the building itself, have the ability longer term to be used using gray water and to recycle water in that way. Right now, that's not something that's available within the zoning and code requirements within the Greensboro area. But that's something that we, once that's something that's available, we'll be able to do.
Sure. Okay. Now that we've talked about all the green stuff, right? We haven't missed anything out. Left anything out, have we?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, let's talk about the hotel.
Yes, well, it's a beautiful spot. And the idea here,
Paint the picture for me, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We're right here nestled about 7 minutes from the downtown area of Greensboro, North Carolina. And Greensboro, for those that don't know, has a very rich textile history. So there was a lot of fabric that was made right here in Greensboro. We really initially wanted to have the feel of this hotel actually be in an old factory that had kind of been restored into being a luxury hotel. But in Greensboro, there weren't any factories that made sense for us to do that, either from a location standpoint or from kind of the bones of the actual buildings. And so during the design process, they imagined, you know, what would it look like if you were able to find it. And so the outside of the hotel has very large windows. You get some wonderful natural light coming into the guest rooms. You also have, you know, a relatively simple facade on the outside. You know, we talk about sustainability a lot of times being things like energy efficiency or water efficiency, that sort of thing. But also, you know, one of the things that's not sustainable is to be an ugly building. And so when we were looking at the design of the building, we wanted to have it as something that really you could look at 100 years from now, and it would still kind of be looked at as something that you could see as a nice historical building, rather than something that maybe was trendy and, 20 years from now, they'd want to demolish.
Right.
So that's one aspect there. We have beautiful, really large windows, a very contemporary, kind of a classic modern styling to the guest rooms, a really wide variety of stylings of rooms. You have a loft king spa room, which has doors which open up from the nice soaking tub there, that so you can get some natural light into the bathroom. Our corner rooms have a beautiful backdrop in the behind the vanity of a window there, so you have wonderful natural light coming in through that aspect as well. And it's kind of it's a very crisp, nice feel to it. It feels a little bit like a warehouse with exposed piping and exposed elements in terms of the concrete pillars for the building, which have been painted with this beautiful watered-down, water-based paint treatment. And So it really feels like an old mill, and we get that question a lot. So when was this building restored? So it's kind of a fun that we've been able to achieve that feeling within the building. Nestled right next door is our restaurant, the Printworks Bistro, which has, if you imagine the hotel as being this really big mill, that was kind of the warehouse that was attached to it, again, being built from the ground up, though. And so it's a very open space. They serve a classic sort of a French bistro-style food, and use a lot of local ingredients there, and always focused on making sure that we're using as much local produce and other things as possible.
Wow! Yeah. So.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the rooms, like what's what are the rooms like? What's in the room aside the bed or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have?
Well,
internet and all that other stuff, all the
of
modern.
Course, yes. You've got the design of the building, again, to feel like that old warehouse. You have this loft-like sensibility where it's really clean lines in the guest room itself. All the furniture was locally made. All of the upholstered furniture was locally made. You've got a flat screen, 32-inch flat screen TV. We have high-definition channels going with all that. There's over 200-some-odd channels that are available within the guest rooms. It really, if you were to walk from room to room, you'd almost feel like you're walking into a little bit of an art gallery as well, because we had a local artist do original pieces for each guest room. He's actually in the process of doing that for our sister hotel, the O. Henry, which is just around the corner as well. But they're vary from some things that are very, very organic and have almost a little bit of an Asian feel to them, to also some more kind of human forms within it, kind of a little bit of abstract charcoal on canvas there. So a beautiful set there, a mini cooler and microwave, some of the other standard amenities, hair dryer, all of those things. A beautiful double vanity there. And our loft king rooms have a walk-in shower, where the loft spa rooms have the walk-in shower, and then also a nice size soaking tub.
Wow. That really sounds really great. It's interesting. I had gone to a hotel that also did that. That they took a warehouse and did that kind of a thing. And and art and stuff like that, exposed pipes and things like that. It's really cool doing that. But of course, they didn't do what you guys did with the whole green stuff. That's for sure.
Right.
And as far as the restaurant, tell me about what kind of food. Does a restaurant serving tries to get stuff from the local produce and things like that, or?
That's correct. Yes, and one thing that's a little different about our restaurant as well. Both here and that is that we wanted to make sure that The restaurant, although it is here at the hotel and it's you can walk to it without having to go outdoors, that sort of thing, it's really designed to be a restaurant that is adjacent to a hotel rather than being a hotel restaurant. And we think that that's an important change in the mindset of the people who are actually running that as a business, because they're not just here to serve the guests of the hotel, but they're also here and really focused on serving the guests of the community. And we think that really puts a lot of energy into the food being much better, much higher quality, and to having a lot more energy to the menu and things like that. Some of the things that you'll find on it are like a duck confit. We have a North Carolina trout, which is on the menu as well. A lot of the pork that we get is from the Virginia area, which we're really just about 20 miles away from the Virginia line there. We're also, you've got a variety of desserts that are wonderful there as well. The profiteroles are fantastic. And they have a wide variety of things that kind of change throughout the year, because the menu itself will flow with the seasons a great deal. So it's not uncommon in the summertime to have possibly a prefix menu where we'll have items that are being selected out of a local farmer's market, to be used for that week sort of thing.
That sounds great. I'm ready for dinner.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You missed the beginning of the show when I was talking about fairy tale brownies. Have you ever had one of those?
I don't think I have, no.
Oh, God. I mean, it's like no one comes close to making brownies like this than this company, Fairy Tale Brownies. And what happens, and I chat about this, and as my guests are listening, they're going, "Wow, what is that?" I'm just curious. And even in terms of some of the food, do you like the coffee or the teas, or that do you go out of your way for? I forgot what they call it, fair trade, I think, or organic, or anything things like that, like with the coffee and the tea.
We use a coffee company that brews their own coffee. And I do believe they have a stronger focus on sustainability as well, and I do believe that is one aspect that they consider within a lot of the selection of the beans that they get in that they roast there out of Durham, and there. So that I do believe that does enter into the equation. And also when when we're serving tea at an event or things like that, we use bulk items so that you're not as many individually wrapped things. Some aspects like that are there to make the experience a little bit more sustainable as well.
Sure. So I'm sorry. And again, what's your position at the hotel?
I'm the guest service coordinator. So a lot of what I do has to do with the front office operation of the hotel.
Okay. Well, that's really this is really interesting. After the show, I'm gonna speak with you, because I want to see if I can. I would love to actually visit the hotel.
Yeah, as you're coming through North Carolina, even if you don't have the ability to kind of stay a night, if you can pop by for an hour or so, or an hour and a half or so, I'd love to show you around and take you for a tour. That's another aspect and one thing that we do quite frequently. We have a touring program, so to speak, that in the last 2 years we've had a little over, I think at this point it's almost over 10,000 people who have come through to, to tour the hotel. And that's everything from, your younger generation, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts sort of thing, to elementary schools and universities, to some other businesses as well. So I'd love to show you around.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm going to be shuttled around all over the place. Hopefully I'll get up there. I'll get to Greensboro too, to at least pop in or something.
Sure.
Or it might just have to be another trip itself in itself.
That would work as well.
To Greensboro. But, okay, Tony, so I appreciate your calling in. This is really interesting. I'm going to, I guess, like when I get to the Go Green, when I go to the Go Green Expo, I'll check out products that you might be interested in using at the same time.
That sounds great. I'd love to hear about it.
You know, I managed to get some, samples of things, and that's, pretty cool. And, give you some ideas or, get the companies themselves and, send you the products. What the heck, right?
All right.
Okay. Well, again, thanks, Tony. And hope to see you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Ah, okay. It's Proximity Hotel in Greensboro. And, we'll see what happens. I'll see if I can go check out the place myself. And because what I would like to do really is to spend at least one night and see how I feel afterwards, how well I breathe, etc. So, I am going to end the show a bit earlier, unless. Wait a minute. Yes. I know. Okay. Well, I guess Esther's wanting to learn about her twin sister. Well, we'll get it to you soon. We know we're in touch. She's being delivered here, and I'll let you know. I'll let everybody know all about her. And in the meantime, have a great day, evening, or whatever. I'm going to my next show. I'm not sure what day I'll do it, but I'm looking. We're going to focus on things in regards to women's history. So take care, everybody, and enjoy.